Scripture reading this morning will be 1 Timothy 4, 6. 1 Timothy 4, 6. If you're using the Pew Bible, that's page 992. If you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed.
Good morning. Please have your Bibles open where Jeff just read 1 Timothy chapter 4. He concluded with verse 6, and we'll pick up with verse 7 here in just a moment. If you have one of our Pew Bibles, that's on page 992. It's good to see each of you this morning. I know we have some visitors. We're blessed by your presence. It's especially good to see the Blackmans. They're sort of visitors, but we still consider them part of our family, and we're blessed to that they've come our way today as well. And we have somebody else who's sort of like a visitor, but she's not really a visitor anymore. Kelly Schaefer's family, we're blessed by their presence on a regular basis, her parents and her siblings from time to time. And one of her sisters, Kelsey, who's sitting beside Kelly right now, Kelsey has moved to the area. She'll be living with Ben and Kelly and the boys for a while she's attending school here. And I didn't ask for Kelsey's permission to say all this, but we've been blessed to get to know her since Ben and Kelly have been with us, and I know we're going to be blessed to have her with us while she continues her schooling here. So make her feel even more welcome, and Kelsey, we're excited for you to be here with us. In Matthew chapter 4, verse 4, while Jesus is dealing with the temptations that Satan is hurling at him, Jesus will confront those temptations. He will respond to Satan time after time with Scripture. And in one of them, he quotes from the book of Deuteronomy by saying, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Now, to a lot of us, that's probably a passage that we're familiar with. We sometimes even sing songs based on that passage. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." And it sounds, you know, it's just a really nice phrase. It sounds nice, but here's what I want you to realize. Jesus was not just quoting some trite scripture. Jesus was telling us his worldview. Jesus was telling us how he navigated this life in a way that defeated and conquered sin completely. Jesus showed us what gave him the strength. Yes, his faith in his Father, his obedience to the Father's will, but it was feeding off of God's Word on a regular basis, knowing that, yeah, as he lived and as he walked on this earth, Jesus needed to eat physical bread. He needed physical nutrition in order for his body to exist. But he says, what really fuels me and what really gets me through my day-to-day existence as I walk this earth is the word that proceeds from the heart of my Father and the mind of our Heavenly Father. As we've explored what it means to be a disciple so far this year, as we think about what it means to come follow Jesus, if we're going to navigate this life, if we're going to walk this earth like our Lord and Savior did, and do it in faith, and do it in such a way that we are not defeated by sin, we're going to have to do it the same way Jesus did. By living, by feeding off of the word that proceeds from the heart and the mind of our Heavenly Father. This morning I want to talk about what it means to be spiritually nourished, to talk about nutrition. We've sung a number of songs. By the way, I appreciate David leading that song, "Break Thou the Bread of Life," before I get up here to preach. I'm not going to say it's wrong to sing it before the Lord's Supper, but a lot of times people, when they hear that song, they think that's a Lord's Supper song. It's actually a song about opening God's Word. The Word is the bread of life. Jesus is also the bread of life. But in that song, if you listen to the words, it's talking about allowing God's Word to be imparted to us more than it's talking about Christ's body being sacrificed for our sins. But if we're going to be spiritually nourished, we're going to have to feed off what God has given us, His heart and His mind and His Word. But here's the reality. And for the next few moments, I'm going to focus on the flip side of this, because there are a lot of fakes, there are a lot of substitutes for real spiritual food and real spiritual drink. And I want you to be thinking about, as we go through this lesson today, for those of us who are disciples, and if you're thinking about being a disciple, if you're thinking about really following Jesus Christ, giving your life to Him, what fuels us? What feeds us? Where do we get our information that allows us to look at this world in the way that God looks at the world, to look at life the way that God looks at life? Because if we don't allow ourselves to be fed and nourished on God's Word, we're going to find our food somewhere. Once you get hungry, you're going to eat something. And if you get desperate enough, you'll eat just about anything. The same is true spiritually. If you're not feeding off of God's Word, you're going to feed off of something. Something is going to at least try to nourish you, but if it's not God's Word, it's going to be a bad substitute. And that brings me to our first point. The first substitute is spiritual junk food. I've asked for somebody to assist me for this next point. Tristan, will you come here and help me, please? Tristan, if you know Tristan, he is a caring and sharing. You can come right up. You can go. But yeah, sure, come right up that way. And I've selected Tristan because he's good at caring and he's good at sharing, right? And I've also selected you because you like candy, because I like candy. Now, I've got a question. Now, you like chocolate? Yeah, I like chocolate too. And listen, all the young people in here, I want you to pay close attention. This is the man of the hour, okay? This is the man you want to get to know. Can I trust you to take care of this while I preach? You think so? Will you eat any of it? I know you won't. I'm just giving you a hard time. All right, leave this unopened while I preach, and then after church, after worship, I want you to make sure every kid in here gets one. And you might even have enough left over to give to an adult or two, but be careful which adult you give it to, okay? Yeah. I got one question for you, though. This thing tells me there's like 45 or 50 candy bars in here. Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it? What do you think would happen if you ate all of that? You would get sick. You're exactly right. That's a very wise answer. So hey, be sure you keep one for yourself and even give one to your brother, okay? All right. And then after worship, give one to all the other kids and the teenagers too, okay? All right. Thanks, Tristan. You're a good young man. I appreciate your help. All right. Now, here's the reality. In the spiritual realm, there is a lot of spiritual junk food out there today. And there really always has been. If you look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, this is where Jeff left off. Paul, talking to the young preacher Timothy, says, "Have nothing to do with irreverent, silly myths." Now, depending on what translation you're reading from, some of your Bibles might say something like old wives' fables. It's not the most politically correct term in our day and time, but it was probably an idiomatic expression that Paul was using back then, and it's still one we use today. Sometimes people talk about old wives' tales. The ESV translates that silly, irreverent myths. What's Paul getting at? Paul's talking about the kind of stuff that is not spiritual food, but it substitutes for spiritual food. People get caught up talking about all kinds of things, all kinds of ideas and theories about God, about life, about the events of this world, about what's happened in the past, about what's going to happen in the future. And before you know it, we get talking about a whole lot of what? It's a whole lot of nothing. But it consumes us, it keeps us busy, and we think it actually might be feeding our souls, just like junk food, just like candy. Now, I'm not saying it's inherently wrong to eat candy, but it's amazing to me, you know, when I was a kid, to me it felt like if you went to the grocery store, you had like five choices, and now you got like hundreds of choices, right? You got all these choices of junk food, of candy, and things like that. But you know what those calories are? They're just empty. They don't really provide your body any nutrition. Now, it might give you a little quick, you know, sugar rush and boost of energy, and in some ways, the spiritual junk food, it provides people a bit of a spiritual sugar rush. It's exciting. Sometimes it's subversive. Sometimes it's controversial. It stirs the pot. It gets people talking, but it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't allow you to grow spiritually. It doesn't put you in a better place, and it doesn't help you be more like Christ. Actually, if you turn your Bible back a page or two, Paul, as he begins this letter in 1 Timothy chapter 1, will also talk about this kind of stuff. It seems to be a pretty big issue in Timothy's world as Timothy is working as an evangelist and a missionary. Here we are 2,000 years later, and we're still, they might be different issues and different details, but it's the same category of stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 1, in verse 4, he tells Timothy, nor to devote themselves, talking about the people that you're working with in Ephesus, tell them not to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. Now, I don't know specifically all the things that were being debated and talked about and passed around in Timothy's world, but I know today it's sort of like when you go to the grocery store today, there's more spiritual junk food than ever before, it seems like. And I'm not against the internet, but the internet is one of the reasons why. Because anybody can have a website. And anybody, and by the way, just about anybody anymore, because we have so many TV channels, you got to have something to fill the programming. Just about anybody can get their face on TV, at least for a short little while, if they say something bizarre or off the wall enough. That's true when it comes to politics and social issues, but guess what? It's also true when it comes to religious things and spiritual matters. And if you're not careful, somebody can come up with a really slick-looking website and say things that are just spiritual junk food and take you away from the stuff that this is all about. Paul will continue that thought if you look in verse 5 of 1 Timothy chapter 1. He helps Timothy to remember, what is this all about? What does it mean to minister to others, and what does it mean for them to follow Jesus Christ? He says, the aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Paul's telling Timothy, here's what you need to stay focused on. He says, love that comes from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. He says, if the food that you're feeding off of isn't really feeding your mind and your soul and your faith and your conscience, if it's just this stuff people are debating about that never gets you anywhere good, if it's just these wild speculations, and let me tell you, I'll give you a few very general examples. I'm not going to get too specific. But in our day and time, people will talk endlessly about end time theories. What's going to happen? What's it going to be like when Jesus returns? And sometimes it sounds really exciting, and sometimes they get the news mixed into it and stuff that's going on in different parts of the world and all these signs and all these things you can be looking for. But if you study God's Word, what's Jesus say? And what's Scripture say over and over again? He's going to come like a thief in the night. You're not going to know the day or the hour. What's that tell me? I don't know. I don't know when He's going to come back. You don't know. But I can be prepared. I can live by faith. I can live with a good conscience. I can live with a pure heart. I can live like Christ so that no matter when He comes back, I'm ready. I don't need to be an expert on the news or all these different theories. I just need to follow Jesus. And there's lots of other things. You know, sometimes it almost amazes me anymore, that, again, especially on the internet, the stuff that I see people talking about and sharing, and you want to say, where is that found in God's Word? And the problem is when you don't find your nutrition, when you're not nourished on God's Word, some of this other stuff, it sounds exciting. It might get people worked up, but it's not really based in God. And it doesn't point us to being more like Christ and living for Him. So that's the spiritual junk food. The next thing, as you go back to chapter 4 of 1 Timothy, is spiritual malnutrition, or malnourishment. You can use either word. But malnourishment, malnutrition, it's a big problem in certain parts of the world today, especially with children who don't get the right kind of nutrients, that don't get the right amount of food. In the United States, we are a society of abundance. But here's the reality. Sometimes that abundance, and sometimes the many different ways in which we're feeding ourselves, physically and otherwise, leads to spiritual malnourishment. Paul's going to talk about that in the second part of verse 7, going into verse 8. He says, "Rather train yourself for godliness. For while bodily training is of some value, godliness is of value in every way, as it holds promise for the present life and also for the life to come." Now, I'm going to have a visual representation for this as well. And in some ways, it's a little bit ironic. This is called muscle milk. It's protein powder. I confess that when I'm doing my running, sometimes I'll have some of this after a run just to get some protein in my system. The reason why I have selected this for this point, to talk about spiritual malnutrition, by the way, a lot of people will drink protein if they're having a hard time getting their nutrients. Sometimes people will drink Ensure and things like that, and sometimes that's good for your health. But here's my point. There's a whole industry today, and there's a whole focus in our society that might feed your body really well, that might take care of your body, but spiritually, it leaves you malnourished. And that's the kind of thing that Paul's talking about here in verses 7 and 8, the second part of verse 7, the first part of verse 8. If you look in your Bibles, the second part of verse 7 says, "Rather train yourself for godliness." That word train, hold on to that. And then in verse 8 he says, "For while bodily training is of some value." He uses the word train there twice. That word train in the Greek comes from the same word that we get gymnasium and gymnast, gymnastics. The Greek word is gymnos. He's speaking of athletic training. And we here in the United States and in the Western world in general, we love our athletes. And yes, I did keep track of that basketball game yesterday. But we love our athletes. We love sports. We love talking about staying in shape and being healthy and being beautiful and being young. And if you're not careful, the focus on things physical, whether it's physical appearances, physical strength, physical accomplishment, that will leave you spiritually malnourished. When Paul says here, he says, train yourself for godliness. He's using an athletic word. But here's his point. He's telling Timothy to tell Christians, I want you to train yourself to be more like God, to be more like Christ, the way athletes train themselves to get ready for things like the Olympics. He says physical training, it is of some value. Some translations say it's of little value. Paul acknowledges, yeah, it's okay to take care of your body. But what happens when you take care of your body and you don't take care of your soul? You are a malnourished person. You might be the most buff guy, the most beautiful woman. You might be the most accomplished athlete, but if you haven't trained your soul, you haven't accomplished anything in the eternal scheme. Again, you look back at the second part of verse 8. He says, godliness is of value in every way. You can take care of your body. You can go to the doctor. You can take all of the right pills. You can do the perfect exercise regimen. And here's what's going to happen to you. By the way, you can put on the perfect beauty cream and do all that stuff too. But here's what's going to happen to you. Your looks and your strength are going to fade. And your body is going to break down and die. Now, I don't say that to sound cruel or harsh. It's just reality. And so as much as you work hard to preserve and take care and present your body in the most magnificent way, it's going to come to nothing. It's going to return to the dust of the ground from which God made it. But here's what Paul is saying. You train like an athlete in godliness, it's of value in every way because it helps you in this life and it keeps you focused on the fact that the spiritual body, the one that you can't see with your eye, it's made for eternity. And to me, one of the most tragic things that is going to happen on the day of judgment, will be people who have disciplined their body, who have been known for their beauty and for their accomplishment, standing before the Lord saying, look at what I was. And Him saying, but who are you? Have you been like my son? Have you been pursuing me by faith in my son? Because if you haven't, you've not been nourishing your body. And I don't know who you are. And in our world, it is so easy to be spiritually malnourished, to feed the body. Let me add this, to feed the mind, the intellectual mind as well. You can be a genius. You can win the Nobel Prize. You can create and invent the most world-changing things. But if you aren't pursuing Christ, you're malnourished there too. And so that is another form of not feeding off of the things we should. The next thing that we're going to look at is spiritual poison. Go back to the verse that Jeff read for us, verse 6. Paul writes, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Again, some translations where good doctrine is used will have that word sound, sound doctrine that Timothy has been following. That word sound, it gets used a lot of times in religious circles. In the original language, it just means healthy. It means good. It means the things that do feed and fuel your soul the way that they should be fed and fueled. In writing that, what's Paul saying? There are things that aren't sound doctrine. There are things that are not healthy for you. There are things that do not align with words of the faith that Timothy has been following. And I'm going to call these, for the sake of our lesson today, spiritual poison. Paul will have more to say about these things when he writes Timothy a second time. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, if you will turn over a few pages, 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 3. These are going to be some of Paul's last written words to his son in the faith, Timothy. He's going to be telling Timothy, here's what it looks like to really preach the word. To be a man of God who's always prepared to put before people not just what you want to say, not just what they want to hear, but what needs to be said and what needs to be heard. And in writing about these things in verse 3, Paul will say, for the time is coming when people will not endure sound, that's that word again, sound or healthy teaching, but have itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. In our day and time, the phenomenon of itching ears is nothing new. Paul was telling Timothy, it's going to be right before you. There's going to be people, even in Paul's day and time, people who are teaching things contrary to God's word, contrary to sound or healthy teaching, contrary to the things that the apostles were already being putting before the church. And here we are 2,000 years later, and you can find all kinds of stuff being said. Many times it's because people don't want to accept what God has revealed to us. Sometimes it's because people don't know what God has proclaimed in His Word. And if we're not careful, if we're being fed by these other things, whether it's the junk food that's out there or the things that distract us and allow us to be malnourished spiritually, if we're not fed on God's Word, we're not going to know whether or not false teaching that is out there, we're not going to know whether or not it aligns with God's Word in the first place because we haven't been feeding on God's Word. Within the past week or so, I came across an article. I'm not going to get too specific about it, but it has to do with an issue that's been in the news a lot, being debated in certain religious circles. And one of the things as I've paid attention to this debate is reading to and listening some of the reasoning, the rationale behind especially one side of the argument, one side of the debate. And I came across an article that was written by a religious leader, somebody who teaches others and calls himself a Christian. And the first line of this article said this: "One must be careful in using the Bible as a source of moral standards." Now, let me say it one more time. One must be careful in using the Bible as a source of moral standards. And as you read the article, he would go and outline in detail all kinds of things in the Bible that God would not approve of. And say, just because it's in the Bible doesn't mean that the Bible's always right. It was pretty much his conclusion. Well, as I read that article, and I don't have time for the sake of our lesson today, there were all kinds of ways in which he was in some ways a scholar, but all kinds of ways in which he was misrepresenting the way the Bible portrays these issues. But if you were somebody not familiar with the Bible, you would read this article and think, you know what, that was pretty convincing. He's got a point there. And the sad reality is there are a lot of people today, because of our societal lack of familiarity with the Bible, people are saying all kinds of things that are spiritual poison, but they sound like good ideas because people don't know what God said in the first place. And people are saying things similar to what Satan said in the garden. Did God really say that? Is that really what you've heard? Is that really what you've read? And if you're not all that familiar with Scripture, if you're not all that familiar with what God has revealed, and if you don't cross-check what people say and what people teach, including me, by the way, I can get things wrong. Now, I think there's two different categories of wrong teaching out there. I think there are some who have pure motives, but they just have the wrong information, like Apollos in the book of Acts. But there are some people, for some reason, who say, yeah, this is what the Bible says, but I'm going to tell you something else. And if we're not feeding on God's Word, those kind of things will poison our souls and will lead us down paths that aren't following Jesus Christ, that are contrary to Him, contrary to God and His nature, and contrary to the teaching of Scripture. Now, whether you want to think about junk food or malnutrition or poison, you're like, that's a lot of negative stuff out there. Well, yeah, there's a lot of negative stuff you can put in your bodies as well. But the reality is, there's also that thing that can feed us and nourish us completely. And I want to finish by talking about spiritual nourishment. Again, going back to verse 6, Paul says, if you put these things before the brothers, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, being trained in the words of the faith and of the good doctrine that you have followed. Paul says, Timothy, there's good food out there. By the way, the ESV uses the word being trained in the words. A lot of translations say being nourished. That word there has to do with how you feed your spirit, how you feed your soul. There is good spiritual food. But you're not going to find it in the world. You're not going to find it in the theories of man. You're not going to find it. Yeah, you might find some people speaking truth on the internet or on television, but you know where you ultimately find real spiritual food? It's in Jesus Christ Himself and in His Word. You feed off of Him. You feed off of the revelation of Scripture. And you're not going to be well fed physically if you just eat a good meal once every few weeks. You're not going to be well fed spiritually if you just have a snack a couple times a day. But a lot of times that's the way we treat God's Word anymore. Sometimes we get in a pinch, we're like, oh, I need to find a Scripture maybe that deals with what I'm going through right now. I'm not saying that's wrong in the moment, but that's really just a snack. Spiritual food is saying, I've got a soul, I am a soul, I am a spirit, and I need to keep feeding myself. And the only source of real spiritual food and real spiritual drink is Jesus Christ Himself. The Word in the flesh. The bread of life. And what He has imparted to us through His Word. And the reality is, for some people, it's just not exciting enough anymore. Because, well, you know, sometimes it's easier to eat junk food than it is to eat healthy. Well, that's why Paul says things like train yourself. Train. Put these things into practice. And when you do, you won't get bored, you won't get sidetracked, you won't be looking for other things, because you will use the revelation of God's Word in such a way that it changes who you are, it transforms your life, and it does good for others. And in that way, it's nourishing to you, and it nourishes others along the way. Feeding and training the physical body, it requires the same things that it did thousands of years ago. Now, the one thing is, we have more understanding because of science today of how to take care of our bodies. Hopefully, over time, as we grow, we have a better understanding of how do we take care of our souls. Well, it starts by feeding it with the right stuff. Feeding it with God's Word. Our follow this week. I want you to reflect for yourself and go through your spiritual pantry. What do I mean by that? You go home this afternoon, you can open up wherever you keep your food, your fridge, your freezer. You can see, you know, I've got so much bread, got so many fruits and vegetables. I want you to go through your spiritual pantry. How have you been feeding your soul here recently? How much nourishment have you been getting from God's Word compared? Here's some other examples. How much have you been feeding your soul compared to the news? How much have you been feeding your soul compared to the internet? How much have you been feeding your soul compared to entertainment? The music, the movies, the television? What is guiding the way that you look at life and the way that you look at the world and the way that you look at God? Because Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. That's how Jesus filtered the world through which He lived. What changes do you need to make to get nourished in a more healthy way on God's Word? For some of us, it might have to do with getting serious again by communing with God through His Word and communing with God through prayer. For some of us, it might have to do with, you know what, being a part of a worship service like this. This is an opportunity for us to feed one another by feeding together on God's Word. Bible classes are the same thing. We don't just do those things for the sake of saying, hey, you know what, we got to have a Bible class. Our aim and our purpose is fostering love that comes from a sincere heart and a sound faith. And a good conscience. Coming together and opening God's Word helps us to better understand together what He's revealed. And it feeds us. Hopefully it should train us to go back into the Word to actually live these things out. So that when temptation comes our way, we can just like Jesus, throw back God's Word in Satan's face. And as we go out into the world, we help people see, you know, some of these false ideas and some of these things that people like to talk about endlessly, doesn't do us any good, but let me show you. Let me show you what gives my life purpose and sustenance. So what changes do you need to make? What changes do I need to make? Because I'm not perfect when it comes to this either. And I promise you, the more we feed on and the more we're trained by God's Word, the healthier we will be spiritually. And the more like our Lord and Savior we will become. That's what it's all about. Today, if you have not named Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, but you believe His Word, you believe the testimony of Scripture that Jesus of Nazareth was not just another man, but He's the Son of God, and that He walked this earth without sin, He walked this earth in love, and He walked this earth by faith in His Heavenly Father. And being obedient to the Father's will, He died on the cross on behalf of our sins and by the power of the Holy Spirit was raised on the third day to defeat death for all those who name Him. Scripture tells us that we imitate that life and that death and that resurrection when we come to Christ in baptism. If you've never put Christ on in baptism to become one of His disciples, we hope that you make that decision, that commitment today. For those of us who are Christians, we're not going to get through this life in this world without God's Word. We need to feed more on it, and feed on it together, and help each other along the way. If for some reason your life has gone off track and you need to be fed again, we're here as your spiritual family to help you, to pray for you in any way. If you need to respond to the Lord's invitation, please come forward while we stand and sing.